Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Amen. Hallelujah. Just think, the one that always lift up Jesus, the one that is always in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, he's in fellowship with you tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What a promise. Glad to have Brother Brian and Rose here tonight. Thank y'all for being here. Hallelujah. If you want to open up your Bibles to the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, and we're going to work our way from the old to the new and look at some different things tonight. I want you to leave here just so encouraged and blessed by the power of the Lord in your life. Now, you need to read this full chapter. This here in this chapter, God is talking to the people who have went to captivity, and they're in captivity. But he said, even though you're in captivity, you can be blessed. And so it doesn't matter what's happening in this world tonight. When you've got the Lord, say, I've got the Lord, you can be blessed. And so we're going to talk about tonight. Say, I'm blessed because of the Lord. No other reason. Amen. And so you have been appointed to be blessed. And so it's not an accident that you're blessed. And so for sake of time, let's look at the two contrasts here between the cursed man, woman and boy and girl, and the blessed man, boy and girl. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. And whose heart is departed from the Lord. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not be inhabited. We've all been around that person. It didn't matter what was happening, they couldn't see good anywhere. Amen. But notice, this is where you and I come in. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted. And I want you to concentrate on verse 8 tonight. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, how does it happen? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, but I, the Lord, try. I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man, woman, boy, and girl, according to his or her ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord. May we come in.
Yes.
As we stand in your
yes.
presence,
yes.
Lord, may we open our hearts to prayer and mind. Let's try to be able to our
That's heart. Right.
Give us the understanding and our spirit to step forth in it, Lord, and give you all the glory and all the praise and name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for being here once again tonight. Thank you for honoring the word. Brother Donnie just prayed verse 1. That's exactly what it is. It's written on our heart, and I want the blessing written on my heart, don't you? Not the curse. And that's the way it is for you and I, because the Bible says in Ephesians 1, because you and I are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen. In heavenly places or from the heavenlies. And so tonight, I don't want to look at the negative. I want to look at the positive, because you and I, we're believers. Amen. And because we're believers, then we're in the place that we have been blessed, and we're blessed because of the Lord and our ability to trust and to hope in him. Amen. So I want us to look at verse 8, and I want us to pick some things out, and I want you to take it home with you tonight, and I want you to leave here with your feet barely touching the ground. Amen. Notice what he said there, because of verse 7, blessed is the man, woman, boy, and girl that trust in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Your hope, your confidence, everything about your life stems from your relationship with Jesus, and that brings you to verse 8. For he or she shall be as a tree planted by the waters. I want you to know tonight, even though we're looking at inflation going crazy, we're looking at grocery prices and gas prices, we're looking at all the things that's happening in the world, you and I, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen. Come on, we are of God. We have been born because of our faith in Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And so you and I have got to see ourselves not according to the way the world thinks and operates, because we're not of this Babylon system. We're of the system of the Lord. Amen. And so anytime the devil brings situations and circumstances to your life to make you question God's goodness, or to kind of waver, because the devil wants you and I to waver. He wants us to be up and down. Come on, because the Bible says in James 1, the man that wavers, he's not going to receive anything from the Lord. So you and I, we're not going to be wavering. We're going to be holding on tight to the one who is firm and faithful. Come on, Jesus is firm and faithful. Amen. And he's your source of all things. He's my source of all things. Now, notice what he said. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. So we've got to tell the devil in situations and circumstances, say, devil, you're not going to move me. You're not going to discourage me, because I am been planted by the Lord. Come on. You have been planted by the Lord. And so you're blessed tonight. So let's look at the very first way that blessing comes in your life that should excite us so much. Hold your place right here. We'll be right back. Go to Romans chapter 6. Let's look at this planting and what it brought in your life at the moment of salvation, why you and I can rejoice so much. Look at Romans chapter 6 and look what it says starting in verse 5. Romans 6 and verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, talking about Jesus, he said, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we've got something to look forward to, but look what it says, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Woo! Glory tonight. The first way that we're blessed is that you and I have heard the gospel message of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We passed from death unto life, and we've been delivered from sin. Come on, the whole world thinks that there's no answer for sin. The whole world, they're in an attitude where they think that sin is going to dominate them the rest of their life, going to control their actions, their words, is going to be the very boundary of their life. But you and I tonight, we're blessed because we have believed in a Savior that died for us. He went to the tomb for us, and death couldn't hold him. Amen. He is resurrected. And so I am planted in him. You are planted in him. We're planted in that resurrection. We have a new life, a brand new life tonight. So we are blessed. We're blessed. And so when doom and gloom, when all the negativity of this world tries to attach itself to us, you and I, we just stand up and we just shout to the top of our lungs, I'm forgiven. And not only am I forgiven, I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Devil, you can say, you can do what you want to do. This world can work in any way it wants to, but it's not going to control me. It's not going to control you. It's not going to control God's church. Amen. So I am planted. You're planted. We got, just think about it. We got to die with Jesus that we can be resurrected with him. And the Bible says that when you and I got resurrected with him, we had the anointing and the word of God to cause us to walk in the newness of life. Oh, glory. Now, what we've got to see is that the old man will try to resurrect himself in the old way of thinking and all of those things. But what we've got to do, we've got to stand on this word. And we've got to say, now, wait a minute. The Bible said, if I trust in the Lord, if my hope is in him, that I'm blessed. And one of the ways that I know that I'm blessed, I have been planted beside the waters. Tonight, you're in the house of the Lord on a Sunday night when you could be anywhere you wanted to be, but you chose to be here. And there is a bearing of witness in your spirit by the Holy Spirit that you're a child of God. Come on, Romans 8 tells us that. And what causes that? Jesus said that when he stood up in John 7, 37, at the last day of the feast, and he made that prophecy about there would be living waters flow out of your belly. Because you got planted in the body of Christ in His resurrection, and the Holy Spirit come to abide to live in your spirit. Come on, there's a unity there. There's a oneness there now. And so the rivers that flow out from beneath the throne of God by the power of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus, you and I are continually being washed in the water of the Word, Ephesians 5:26, by that relationship. Oh, come on, we're blessed. Think about it. There is a Word that is being continually brought to you by the world, and there's the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, giving you the truth when a lie is trying to bring darkness. Oh, hallelujah. You can't be overtaken by the darkness because the light is in you. Amen. The entrance of God's Word gives light. Amen. And so you and I are in a place where we've got the Word in us, but then the Holy Spirit continually brings the Word to us. So I'm blessed tonight. You're blessed tonight because we're planted in that resurrection. That when Jesus, when He died on the cross for us, and when He was placed in that tomb, as He gave up the ghost, the Bible said He said it was finished. And so He went and He took away the whole plan of the enemy, and He got the keys of death and hell. And so tonight, because you and I are planted in that, we have the victory. And we need to talk victory. Don't talk anything else. Don't talk defeat in any form or fashion, because the devil wants you and I to come in agreement with him. He wants you and I to water down our faith. But we're going to water down our faith by the water of the Word, amen, not by the water of his lies. So I want you to think about that. Let that blessing, let it be so real to you. Now go back to Jeremiah. And notice what he said back to verse 8. He's talking about the person who trusts in the Lord, who hopes in the Lord. He said, for he or she, they shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Now notice this. And that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Oh my goodness. Think about this now. You and I were not only planted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you and I, we have the opportunity to grow in him. He brought you alive. He brought me alive. And now, once again, he's talking to the children who are, some of them are there or not by their own doing. Come on, you may be in a situation tonight that has nothing to do with your decisions, but because of our government, because of the sin of this world, we're in certain situations. Amen? There's a reason why gas is almost $4 a gallon. You can't shut down refineries and stop drilling oil and think that gas is going to go down. It's going to go. You had nothing to do with that. But you got a God who can bless you no matter what the price of gas is. Amen. Which affects our clothes, affects our food, affects every area of our lives, our heating, our cooling, all of those things. So you've got to come back and you've got to say, now, wait a minute. I'm in that place where I'm planted in this resurrection, but also I'm growing by that resurrection. My roots, that Jesus has brought me alive, and I'm not growing in this world, but I'm growing in the Savior. I'm growing in this Word. Hallelujah. So you have a teacher, you have a guide who wants to always bring the Word to your heart, to my heart, that will lift us up and bring encouragement and strength in our lives, that will cause us to trust when the whole world is in frantic. They don't know where to turn to. They don't know what to do. But you and I, all we have to do is look on the inside of us, because on the throne of our heart is Jesus. Hold your place there and go with me to the New Testament, the book of Colossians. Let's confirm the Old Testament by the New. Colossians chapter 2, some of my favorite verses of Scripture. You know, we preached all the way through the epistle of Colossians. So you're very familiar with this. But look what he says in starting in verse 6, Colossians 2, 6. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, so live by him. How many is living by Jesus tonight? Now, Jesus defeated hell, death, and the grave, and he ever liveth. When you've got eternal life in you. Amen. This flesh bodies may go to the ground if we don't make it to the sounding of the trumpet. But guess what? Your spirit's alive forever to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you know how you're living by. So he said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, so live ye in him or by him. Now notice this, verse 7. How do you do that? rooted. Mark it down in your Bible, in your Bible app. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You and I, we need to be so thankful. Come on, hallelujah. We need to be thankful. First of all, I have been planted in Christ. I have a resurrection in my life. You have a resurrection in your life. Amen. But not only do I have a resurrection that was just a one moment, a one time happening, I am growing in that resurrection. I'm putting roots down in Jesus Christ. You're putting roots down in Jesus Christ. And so I need to be so thankful because I am growing by what thus saith the Lord. Not the world. Come on, the world is getting darker. And the world is getting less loving. They're being less satisfied all the time. But you and I, the love of God should be increasing in our life. Come on, because sin is abounding. And God said, when sin abound, in that Romans 6 that was at a moment ago, He said His grace would abound that much more. So I'm planted in Christ. I'm rooted. I'm growing by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what He said. He said, I would be rooted in Him and I would be built up in Him. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the one that's building your life? See, Luke chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7 talks about that you and I, we can build our life upon the rock. Jesus is the rock. That means every decision that you make and I make, we see the sand for what it is. We've tried that in the past and we know that didn't work. Now we come back to the rock and we say, Lord, by your Spirit, show me what I need to do in this situation. What do you have for me that is a blessing? What do you have for me to be a blessing? What's the word that'll bring light to my life, my family's life, to my community? All of these things. And so you're rooted in Him. In other words, every time that you say yes to Him, your roots grow a little deeper in Him. And He's able to get a little more truth in your life, in my life. Amen? And all of a sudden, we start getting stronger and stronger. And then those things that's growing around us, they're getting weaker and weaker because they don't have what you've got. Amen. So those things that used to seem so big to me, did y'all not ever have any giants in your life? I had all sorts of giants in my life. And they seemed so big, so powerful. And sometimes I would cower down to them. And sometimes I would yield to them. And sometimes I would allow them to be my boss. But see, as I'm rooted in Jesus, built up in Him, and I start growing in Him, He gets bigger and bigger, and the truth of the Word of God gets more powerful in my life, and those giants, they get smaller and smaller and smaller until finally they disappear. Hallelujah. Look what He says in verse 8. He said, beware lest any man, woman, boy, girl, any person spoil you. Don't let them lead you away through philosophy and vain deceit. This is talking about how the old man would work. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So even after you and I are in that place where we're planted in Christ and we're rooted in Him, you're going to have an opportunity to believe a lie. The devil's going to come against you. And so we've got to see that every bit of information that comes across our mind, it has to be gauged. It has to be measured by the Holy Spirit telling you what God says about it. See, the devil loves to take and play church. He loves to twist words and look religious and all of these things. He's not going to come against you the way he is the person out in the world. He's going to come against you with the Word of God, but he's going to put a little twist on it. And so you and I have got to be in the place and say, now, wait a minute. That sounds good. That looks good, but that's religious. That's not spiritual. There's a big difference between religious and spiritual. But see, you're ready for it because you're not selling for anything else. You know who you're serving. You know who you're following. You know who you have been planted in, who you are rooted in. Now, look what he says the next verse. For in Him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And finally, verse 10, and you are complete in Him. You're complete. So you don't have to go outside this Bible to find an answer. Come on, people are running to and fro. I was listening to a deal last night. I didn't recognize why I was listening to it. I listened to it and I kept wanting to turn it off and I couldn't turn it off. But the Lord was wanting me to listen to it because what this man was doing is deceiving a whole group of people because it sounds godly. It sounds biblical, but it's straight from the pit of hell. Because see, the devil, he always puts something in there, but then he hides Jesus. The Holy Ghost lifts up Jesus. You and I, we have nothing. If we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. And so I'm complete in Jesus. I don't care what word that the world is trying to give me. If it doesn't elevate Jesus, I don't want it. Amen? All right, so I want you to see yourself. You're planted, you're rooted. Now go back to Jeremiah 17. And look what he says. He said, the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be blessed because he's as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Now notice this. Now mark this down in your Bible and your Bible app. And shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Oh, glory. We're in the year of drought. Come on, look around us. Hey, the way the inflation is working on your dollar bill, on my dollar bill. The way the income tax keeps going up. I mean, you and I, we have to pay taxes on our money when we get it. We have to pay taxes on when we buy food. We have to pay taxes. Everything that you buy, it's taxed. It's taxed. It's taxed. It's taxed. Amen? So you need to know that you're blessed, that I am blessed, and it doesn't matter how much they tax you and I. We're just like the children of Israel that was in Goshen down in Egypt. They were blessed. It didn't matter what happened, that there was a protection on them, there was a promise on them, there was a provision for them. And remember, Goshen looked like heaven on earth. Oh, come on, slap that off and listen to me now in the name of Jesus. That's for you and I tonight. We have a God who's going to take care of us and He's going to use you and I to take care of the world. Amen? All right, hold your place here in Jeremiah. Go with me to Genesis chapter 26. Let's look at it in the Word of God. I want you to see something. Now, remember what it said. It doesn't matter how hot it gets, how troublesome it gets. You are blessed because your hope, your trust is in the Lord. Look here. In Genesis 26, let me read just a little bit here to get it in our hearts. Look at verse number 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. This is talking about Isaac. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, or Gerar. He went unto the rolling country. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Where's the blessing at? The blessing's where Isaac is. Come on, God said, Isaac, you stay right where you're at, where I tell you to be at, and that's where the blessing is. Isaac is the promised one. Remember, his name means laughter. See, you and I, we need to bring the world laughter. Come on, the world's a miserable place. See, the only time you look at Abraham's life, the only time he wasn't blessed, he didn't build an altar, and he went to Egypt on his own. Egypt means to go down. It means to come into a place of bondage. So here, before he even had an opportunity, because there's another famine, just like, come on, if we're not careful, we do what our forefathers did. Amen? So before that could even happen, God said, he said, listen, I want you to be blessed. And he said, I want you to abide. Look what he said once again in verse 3. Sojourn in this land, dwell temporarily in this land. I will be with thee and I will bless thee. The blessing is where the servant of God is in the word of God and the will of God. Come on, write that down. The blessing of the Lord is where the servant is by the word of God in the will of God. Are you where you're supposed to be tonight? Then guess what? The blessing's on you. Amen? All right. Drop down and look at verse 6 for sake of time. You can read this in your home study time. It says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Isaac said, okay, Lord, I hear your word. I'm going to dwell. Now, I'm telling you right now, there's some of you that you're battling some decisions about what you need to do. And the devil has tried very hard to discourage you and disappoint you about some decisions because he wants you to change what you're doing. He wants you to change where you're at this moment of time. Hold on to the word of God. Don't change anything. You dwell where God told you to dwell. You do what God told you to do. Amen? And that at the blessing that's going to come. Drop down. We don't have time to read all of this. He went through all this trouble, but God blessed him in his trouble. Come on, God can bless you in your trouble. Verse 12. Look, here's what Isaac did. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and he received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord, what? The Lord blessed him. The blessing is when we're in, we have the word from the Lord, and we're where the will of the Lord has brought the word to us. Come on, there's a famine, but he sows in a famine, and he gets 100-fold blessing. Now, what did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah said that when the heat comes, when the trouble comes, when the problem comes, it doesn't matter because your hope is in the Lord. Your trust is in the Lord. You're going to be blessed. So what you and I need to do, we need to sow in the famine. Sometimes we don't want to sow forgiveness. Come on. Well, they don't deserve it. They need to be apologizing to me. Come on, when the heat's on, when the famine's there, that's when we need to sow. So if it's forgiveness, if it's grace, if it's mercy, if it's love, if it's substance, whatever it is, sow it, amen? Verse 13. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. You're planted in the Lord's resurrection. You're rooted and grounded. You're growing in Jesus. You can't help because your trust is in the Lord. Your hope is in the Lord. You can't help but become very great. Oh, come on now. You've got to stop looking at what it looks like. We got to be like God. God looked at Abraham. He looked at Sarah and he called those things that be not as though they... Come on, that's what we've got to do. If we don't like what we see, let's change what we're looking at. Am I in the wrong church? Verse 14. For he, Isaac, the one who brings laughter, he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The Philistines, every time you see the Philistines in the Bible, their name, if you take it all the way back, it means to roll in the dust all the days of their life. Who was sentenced to roll in the dust all the days of his life? The serpent, right? This is a rolling country. Isaac was blessed in the middle of the devil and everything he could do. Come on now, hallelujah. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if the devil is sitting on your doorstep. He can't stop the blessing of the Lord in your life and through your life. He can't stop the blessing of the Lord in my life and through my life. Amen? Because whom God blesses cannot be glory. We've got to shout it from the rooftop. Okay, go back to Jeremiah. He said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Come on, in famine, it doesn't matter, because you are blessed. Notice this. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You and I, it doesn't matter what season the world says we're in, you and I can yield fruit. Mark chapter 1, it says down at starting about verse number 3, it says, Behold, the sower went out. Did I say Mark chapter 4? Mark chapter 4, down about verse number 3, says, The sower went out to sow. Behold, the sower. That's Jesus. That's the and he sows the word of God. And then you drop down. Somewhere you get the revelation, the interpretation of it starts somewhere around verse 20 to 23 in there. But he says that the one who heard that word, that they would, there was a promise they would bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All because they heard the word. Tonight, all you got to do is hear the word. Amen. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. I hear what the Spirit of God is saying to me. Doesn't matter about anybody else, but I hear, I obey. I work the word in this world, and the word will produce for me. Amen. Okay, hold your place here and go to John 15. Let's document it. We could have went to Mark, but let's go to John. This is some of my favorite teaching in the Gospel of John. I'm sure it's everybody's. Look what Jesus said in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, now mark it down, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now hold that in your heart. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean, you are pruned, you are purged, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Why are you blessed tonight? Because you have the Holy Spirit in your life that brings Jesus, the word of God, across your heart, and the word of God prunes you. Oh, that just makes me want to get down on my knees and just praise God, honor God. I'm being pruned tonight. You're being pruned. What does that mean? See, we bought Donna some roses. Donna, the girls did for Mother's Day 1 year, way back, I don't know, 25 years ago or longer. And we didn't know anything about taking care of roses. But anyway, if you don't keep them pruned, right, they, what do? They go wild. If you don't prune them, they go back to the way that they originally were. Y'all might not have had sin problem. I had a sin problem, and I'm not going back the way I was because I got the Holy Ghost to cleanse me, to prune me by the Word of God. My old nature is not coming back. Your old nature is not coming back. Amen. Now, at this moment, and moment by moment by moment by moment, we're being pruned by the Word of God. Now look what happens when we know that we're being pruned. This is so exciting. Drop down to verse 5. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth a little bit of fruit. Hallelujah, Sister Michelle. Much fruit. He said, for without me you can do nothing. Remember, who is blessed? The man who's hoping, the woman who's hoping and trusting in the Lord, said that you would yield fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, like Sister Michelle said, much fruit. So the devil wants you to think, oh, I'm saved. Oh, by the skin of my teeth, but I'm saved. And I'm just waiting for that last trumpet. Or that last breath, and I know I'm going home. No, you're a soldier in the Lord's army. You're mighty in the earth. God is looking at you like he looked at Gideon. And he said, you are my mighty warrior. I'm going to let what God says about me be real, not what the devil says. The devil, he jumps on me. I don't know how he handles you, but he jumps on me. And he tells me how horrible I am, how weak I am, how much I failed God here and how much I failed God there. And when I start listening to that, before I know it, I'm off in a corner somewhere wishing I was dead. That's what the devil wants. Because you and I, we can't do any good over in a corner listening to the lies of the enemy. We got to stand up and say, because of Jesus, I am who I am. Because of Jesus, I will do what he called me to do. I will be successful, and I'm going to bear much fruit. Look what he says. Drop down to verse 8. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Are you a disciple? Then you're going to bear much fruit, and you're going to bring God glory. Hallelujah tonight. I've been looking my whole life for something that was worth something, something that would be lasting. I don't know about you. I hate doing things over and over, these little millennial tasks that really don't, they have to be done, but you know what I mean. But I want to know that while I'm doing those little tasks, that as I, if I do it as unto the Lord, as the Bible says, as Paul taught the church at Colossians, then it's for his glory. Come on, that makes those little tasks not something that we dread and hate, but something that can be done. Come on, that's eternal. Drop down to verse 16. Look what he said. This is out of the mouth of your Lord and your Savior. John 15, 16. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Brother Donnie, he looked all over heaven and hell and through the earth for somebody like y'all. Brother Bradley, he was looking for somebody just like you for right now, tonight. Brother Brian, somebody like you, tonight. Come on, every one of us that's here tonight. He said, I'm going to count you worthy. I'm going to plant you in the earth in these last days to be my glory.
Hallelujah.
Look what he says. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now look what he said. And have ordained you that you might possibly, that you should go and bring forth fruit. It's ordained of God. Nobody can bring forth what you can bring forth tonight. Come on, let that sink into your heart, soul, and life. That's why the devil is hitting you with everything he can, because he wants to take you and I to a place where we're questioning, where we're wondering. The Bible is the only thing that will take away the questions. It's the only answer we've got. And look what he says. He said, I have ordained you that you should go. Come on, that you should go, that you should. The fruit is not where we're comfortable. You're going to have to go. I got to go. And when we go, look what he promised. And bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Notice what happens then. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, define whatsoever. Whatsoever.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
We're limiting God because God's wanting us to. What does Ephesians 3:20 say? God can do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can. Glory. He said, you have not because you. Come on, let's ask. God wants you and I to be in the place where we're believing him more and more. Remember, he said that you become more and more blessed as you trust and hope in the Lord. So we trust. In other words, I know God will do it. And then I work my faith just as far as my faith will carry me. And then here's my hope. My hope is I have confident expectation. And so I've worked my faith. I'm just wore my faith plumb out, but now I'm hoping. And then, bam, there's the Holy Ghost. There's the angels. There's the Word of God. It's manifested. And now I've got new faith. I've got new hope. And I'm being changed from glory to glory to glory. Amen. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you. So we need to be in that place. I am blessed tonight. I have no reason to be doom and gloom. I have no reason to worry and fret. I take that worry and that fret and I cast it upon the Lord because he cares for me. Amen. He cares for you. All right. Well, we're getting almost there. Go back to Jeremiah. He said, the man who's blessed, the woman who's blessed, the ones who trust and hope in the Lord. He said, for they shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall they cease from yielding fruit. You and I, we're going to bear sun. You need to hear that. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in right now, you can bear fruit. Stop wanting to bear the fruit that you want to bear and bear the fruit that the Lord has ordained you to bear. You know how many people sit down because they can't do one thing? And they miss out on the thing that God wants them to do? See, the devil will get you so preoccupied, me so preoccupied with the one thing that we can't do, that we miss out on the fullness of what God's called us to do. Amen? The Holy Ghost is talking to somebody right now about that. Verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. So you and I need to be in the place where we take the word of God and let that change our all things to the one thing, that Jesus is what we think. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the... Can you believe that God, He knows what's in our heart, but then He also knows what's in the reasoning behind our heart. See, tonight, you and I, we may know what we're thinking. Sometimes we don't even know that for sure. But we may know what we're thinking, but God knows why you think the way that you think. In other words, He can give you the answer of why, how the devil has been able to twist something or put the screws in something or take the fun, the blessing out of something. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man, woman, boy, girl, according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So our ways now is of the Lord, because Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so you and I, we're in the way, Jesus, that way now. And so we're blessed because Jesus is blessed. So I need to be in that place. And I need to say, I can bring forth the fruit that Jesus has ordained me to bring. So let's let the Lord read the situation. In closing, go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, and read a couple of verses. Look at the last two verses of the chapter. Here's the great prayer of David. He says in verse 23, Psalms 139, 23, search me, O God. Now this word search is from a Hebrew word that means, Lord, I know that you know me intimately. It would be a term as closer than a husband and a wife. Intimacy. And so David here, he says, God, in all of who you are, in all of how you know me, because you took and you formed me, you shaped me, and then you breathed life into me, and I become a living soul. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. That word know, it means to know by seeing. In other words, David is saying, Lord, I know that you see everything and you know everything. But you know, sometimes we don't want to know what God sees. But here David's got to the point where he said, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know it, because I know that when you know it and you see it, you can tell me the truth. See, I need to know some things every day. What's my weak areas? What's my strong areas? Where am I walking in obedience? Where am I walking in disobedience? Where am I walking in the fullness of the truth of the Word of God? Where do I need to maybe be critiqued just a little bit, maybe strengthened just a little bit, maybe corrected just a little bit? And so David is saying, God, I want to know all of these things. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He said, try me and know my thoughts. Why? Verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, immediately when we read that word wicked, we think, well, I'm a Christian. But let's look at this word just a little bit different. This is a Hebrew word that would be better translated an idol. See, an idol's wicked. What could be an idol in a Christian's life? Me putting my will above God's will is an idol. Me putting my desires above God's will is an idol. me pushing down a brother or sister. But this, it means the idol that causes grief. So see, tonight, there's some things in our lives, if we would let the Lord search us and know us intimately and tell us the truth, He could tell you. I talk to Him all the time about things, and some things I'm ready to hear and some things I'm not. I'm having to wait and let Him prune me, purge me, and get me to that place to be ready to hear. I want to know why sadness comes on me just out of the blue. And it's just like I'm standing here, everything's fine and dandy, and then the next thing, it's like you took a comforter and just threw it over me. All the light's gone. The ability to see, understand what's around me, who's around me, all of those things are gone because that sadness is so powerful and so strong. Amen? Well, see, I need to know why. And there's other people that I talk to that deal with the very same thing. Or they deal with, maybe some people, it's just a blanket of anger. It's a blanket of agitation. It's a blanket of anxiousness. Whatever it might be, we everybody has their own situation. But I was preaching Thursday morning at Sister Mary's, and I was talking about the peace of Jesus. And I've never had this happen in my life. It was the most amazing thing when I was bringing out those two verses about the peace that Jesus has for us. I felt a blanket. It come on my shoulders, around my neck, and I felt it hit so soft, and it was so sweet. And then I knew that the Spirit of God was going to minister to some people, especially a lady there. She lost her husband, and she needed some peace. Amen. God's got the answer for, I don't care what situation you're in or what situation I'm in, He's got the answer. He said, "See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Let's close with Psalms 51:10. You can quote the verse. The psalmist David prays this prayer, and I want you and I to pray it to the Lord tonight in a fullness. Look what he says. He says, "Create in me a clean heart." You say, "Well, my heart's clean." Yes, our heart's blood washed. But here, we've got to see those little idols, those little things that causes grief and pain in your life, in my life, that God wants to know intimately. He wants to show them to you. He wants to show them to me. He doesn't know all about them, but He wants to help us. In other words, this word create is bara. It's the same Hebrew word when God went through the creation process in the book of Genesis 1. He wants to show us what is really possible in our heart. Amen? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. God wants you and I to have that spirit that shows us every lie, that shows us the victory that's already ours, that shows us that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And the Bible is very clear, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so if there's anything other than liberty that I'm feeling or I'm dealing with, it's a lie. I need to cast off the works of darkness, amen, and receive that robe of righteousness, receive that truth, let it rule and reign in my life. I'll close with this thought. There was a dad and a son. They were sitting on the back porch, and the dad, the type of job he worked, he was always so busy. His busiest time was in the spring. And so they were always going to plant a home garden, but they never got to. So they were sitting there on the back porch that Sunday after church. And the dad looked over at his son. And he said, "Son, how's our garden doing?" and the son kind of grinned just a little bit and laughed out loud. And he said, "Well, Dad, it's not growing anything because we haven't, once again, like it is every year, we haven't got to plant anything." And the dad looked at the son. He said, "You're half right." He said, "We didn't get to plant anything." He said, "But you look at the garden again," and said, "It's growing all sorts of weeds." So you and I, if we leave our heart untouched by the Holy Spirit if we don't pray this prayer, Lord, create a clean heart in me. If we don't stay in that place of communion and fellowship with the Spirit and let the Word wash and water us, flow through us, there's going to be little things that will come up in our life. And those little things will hinder our walk. They'll steal their joy stealers. The devil is a thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy all the promises and the blessings of God out of your life and my life. So we can't let that happen. Amen. We got to keep planting the Word of God. See, me and Donna's trying so hard, and it shouldn't be, but it is a battle. When you see something negative in your family or your people that you love and you're praying for, it's so easy to talk about the negative thing. Doesn't help a thing talking about the negative thing. All we're doing is building it up. We're watering it. Remember, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Well, that's if you're sowing the Word of God. If you're sowing the devil's word, the devil gives. See, we don't. So let's don't talk about the negative. Let's sow the Word over the situation. If you don't like what's happening in somebody's life, if you don't like what's happening in your life, sow the Word of God. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful time I've had with you, Lord, and your people. What a blessing. What a blessing to be in your presence and to be around your people. Lord, I am so fortunate. I ask right now that by the power of the Spirit of God that you touch each one of us. Lord, and you would just show us any idol, any grief, anything in our life that is stealing your joy, that is trying to hold us back, that's trying to limit us. Bring revelation of it and help us be able to lay it on your altar. Help us be able to cast every care upon you and help us receive this engrafted word which is able to save our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Let us be renewed by this word tonight. Let every person leave here edified. Let them not even know how they got home because they're so excited. They've got so much anticipation in their life about what you're going to do in them and through them that they don't even notice the temperature. They don't even notice what's happening around them in the negative, but all they see is the possibilities of thus saith the Lord. Let it be, Father. I ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar? Let us pray with you. Would you just spend some time with the Lord on your humbled heart? It's an altar in your heart, and just let the Lord speak to you. Let him encourage you tonight. We would love to pray with you. I want you just to be so encouraged by the truth and the power of the Word of God. It changes every life situation. Amen.